Amen.
Well, I want you to know this is the month to get the refill. Go to Pisgah Chuvas. Go to Pisgah Chuvas. I think it's Taf Tzadi Aleph. If you go to section Aleph, the note 7 below, he goes through the entire thing of what this opportunity is. And he says the... what was the...
Okay, let's go. Rambam Hilchos Tovim Nitin Perek Yedad Halacha Vav. We ended off in Halacha Hey that if a goy maintains that he was getting a chazaka for 3 years by being in a Jewish person's property, if he did not bring a shtar, the property goes back. Jew doesn't have to make a shvuas hesis, he gets it, because there's no chazakas for non-Jews. Now, and similarly, if a Jew claims that he's in this field because of a goy who had a chazaka, he bought it from a goy who had a chazaka, that won't help, because the goy's chazaka doesn't help and won't help for the Jew either. Now we continue, alokavav. The Jew continues to contend that I should be on this field, and I got it from the goy. But he adds now an important factor. For Omar, he says the following: I witnessed the goy buying it from this Jew, who subsequently the goy sold it to me, and this is the Jew who claims that I'm usurping his property. This is altogether different than just saying I bought it from a goy, and I don't know where the goy got it from, or the goy told me something. Here he's saying, I know, he's coming with a straight claim. My claim is, I saw a goy, the goy, buy the field from you, and I bought the field from the goy, and I've been in the field for 3 years. So now, Hareza Neman, he is believed, the Yid is believed, and the Yeshava Heses Alkach, he makes a Shavuos Heses to keep the field. Why? Because if he wanted to lie, he could have lied better. He could have said, Ani lo kachti avimcha, I bought it straight out from you. I have a chazok of 3 years. He could have said that. And therefore, he could say, "Miploni lekachtiya shabafin lachmer." I bought it from so and so, who bought it from you in front of my eyes. That's a vaday claim, and the vaday claim is believed. Okay, we now move on to the cottons. Back to the cottons, Zion. Ein machzikim benichse cotton vafilu higdul. You cannot get a chazaka of being using the land for 3 years that used to belong to a cotton, even if the cotton has grown up. And Ketza, let's have an example. Let's say a cholav avonav kishu cotton. The stranger, he's eating the field while the cotton is a cotton. Let's say shana achas. The cotton is 12 years old. And for 1 year while he's a cotton, this guy's eating the cotton's field. And then ushtaimach shigdol. And then 2 years after, the cotton has grown up. Vitana, now the fellow makes the following claim. Atom machartali, you sold it to me. Atom nasatali, you gave it to me. Ein zaklum, it's not a valid claim at all. Why? Achiyochol sholosh shanim ritzufos achar shehigdil. He has to have it 3 years after the child has reached adulthood.
What's ritzufos mean?
Straight. Consecutive. And we're concerned because we're afraid they're going to cheat the cotton. Cottons can be cheated. In that first year, he was a cotton. Yep. And the cotton doesn't necessarily know that it's his father's fields. He doesn't know to protest. So therefore, it's got to be 3 years as the katan is of a legal age of majority, okay? And the assumption is it's a chazak after 3 years because we say, and the kid's an adult already, he's going to check out what his father's properties were and he is going to see whose land is what, and he should have said something. This is the Rambam's position. However, many Rishonim argue on the Rambam. The Rashbam says that even if you have 3 years after the cotton grows up, it's not a chazaka because he came there when the kid was a cotton. So the kid still won't know if his father's. Unless he was there a year when the kid was cotton and 3 years after he's a gadol. Still won't help. And the Ravid also disagrees with the Rambam. And also he agrees, and the Ramban and the Rashba and the Rosh all argue on the Rambam and also Rav Hai Gon.
Oh, wow.
All those things, they argue on this Rambam.
What's their rationale? Do we know?
because it's still the kid's a little kid in the beginning. He doesn't know what happened.
No, but there's three consecutive years when he's an adult.
But he doesn't know how it originated.
His father alive or dead?
Dead.
He's dead. His dad's not alive.
So the first year that he's a cut, then his father's already dead?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
He's inherited the fields.
But he may not know. He doesn't know everything his father owned.
I suppose one could also argue.
So that's the machlokas. The Rambam maintains when he's old, he can start investigating and snooping around and figuring out. The other Rishonim said no. He just didn't know. He wouldn't even know where to begin snooping and that kind of stuff. That would seem to be the machlokas.
So what if the cotton was already 3 years, like already not a cotton, and he was just 1 year past a cotton? He still probably wouldn't know. The difference between 12 and 13 is not much.
Well, no, but if a kid's 13 already, in those days, he's an adult. The father would share with him knowledge of the business and stuff. He's an adult, a grown guy. He would be more involved in the business.
Suppose you could argue that when he was 12, he didn't understand it, and then when he was 13, he thought things are just continuing.
That's right. That's exactly what those Rishonim argued with the Rambam. Okay, let's move on. Still with the cotton over here. A person's using the field of a cotton for many years, even if it wasn't, let's say, 3 years during the times of the father's life. But this is his claim. V'ton Rami says, "Mashkuna hein b'yada." This land is a mashkin in my holding. And your father owed me money. So from the days when you were a cotton, I've been holding on to this land because your father, that's a bona fide claim. Now, Hoyle, and since he could have said a lot of other things, he could have said, Hoyle, ve'ilu rots omri wantse lukuchim hem biyodi, I bought it already from your father. So Neman, he is a believed. Share eina muchsekesh. Now, here's the big kicker, because it seems to go against everything we just learned in the last halacha. We must add this very important factor. It's only speaking where we have no chazaka that the father used to own the land. The case is before we knew the father owned the land. That's why the guy is behind the eight ball. Here we're letting him have the chazaka because it's a case where there was no proof that the father owned the land. Very important condition to make this halacha. And therefore, vareza gova mishivcha. So now he can collect from the prophets as the collateral from this. Because that's not when we knew that the father owned it.
Doesn't he have to have a share of something to show that it's a collateral?
Howard, if we had Starr's life, it would be so simple.
Right here.
But now we're dealing with claims. Even with all the Starrs, maybe you wouldn't have had such a big legal battle.
So quick.
If you had real perfect Starrs, right?
For sure.
You know, sometimes it's you take people's words, right? Take them for their word. And that's where the problem's present. Right.
So, Rabbi, let me ask you a question. How could he use this then as collateral? Or for the loan, if he doesn't have a shtar that he owns this,
he doesn't own it. He's saying it's a collateral.
He's saying, but this is
collateral.
And yeah, it's a collateral.
He's only
going to
take the fruits because he's eating the fruits, and that's the collateral.
Yeah, but the father doesn't have the original deed that
he
owns it.
He didn't pay me back. I don't care. But he's saying he owns it. That's the best thing. The guy on the field says it belongs to your dad, so that's good enough. And I'm just collecting the debt that he hasn't paid me. So he owes me $1,000. I'm collecting $200 of fruits every year. And when I'm finished in 5 years, I'll get your land back.
Oh, so who's saying he doesn't have a chazaka?
What? He's saying it's a mashkin. Remember, there's 2 points.
Who doesn't have the chazaka?
He doesn't plan on owning it.
So the guy who's taking it goes the fruits back. Doesn't
have a gova mishifra. He collects the profits. Mashiton v'tachsa. So it goes back.
Okay, fine.
Normally, if you have an illegal chazaka, what happens when we prove you're a liar? What happens?
That's it. You got to give payback
the land and the profits. Here we're saying you get to keep what you grabbed. That's
because of this claim.
But what if there's a rumor that it belongs to the Yisomim already?
Then
ain't an omen. He's not believed. Or ain't machzikim. That's gone because you can't make a chazak on the property of a cotton. And then what would happen if he makes such a claim? V'tachzar sort of the field goes back. V'yachal aper shachol Yisomet shiglu. He has to pay back all the crops he ate. And then when they grow up, now he can deal with them as adults and he can reopen the case. Because when they're kids, there's nothing to claim. They just win. Now when they grow up, the Yasim did not go make a judgment. Try to get out of court to get the money from them. Tess. What if the fellow has 3 years while the Yesomim's father was alive, and he claims it was a mashkin? Same claim. He had it for 3 years and was a mashkin on the father. Now, since he had it 3 years when the father was alive, he could have had all kinds of claims he could have said. Since he could have said, I bought it from your father, that would have been a very good claim. He certainly believes to say it's only a debt that I'm collecting. You collect from the fruits, and more than that, he doesn't even have to make an oath that it's a mashkin, because he's got that migu. Since he could say it's mine, isn't that? Was it better?
Yeah.
All right, so this is the better.
So this is the one
we're going to use this, and what about that one?
I don't know.
Okay, and the other one?
Where's
the,
this one
I'll take home.
Shkoyach,
thank you.
Okay, I mean,
okay, good. Perfect, perfect. Okay, Yud. Now we're going to shift gears.
So if you're doing this, is it more advantageous to wait for the guy to die? If you've been doing it for 3 years, rather than start the whole claim process while the guy is still alive, wait till he dies and it's even easier.
Well, time. He's been collecting the whole time.
No, if you see that he's about to kick the bucket.
But he's been collecting the whole time. Okay, now we're going to shift gears. We're going to leave Ketanim. We're going to go to a case where the guy, remember we said, you only have a chazakah if the person who claims to be the owner has been there the whole time or was in a position to make a protest. But now we're going to discuss two scenarios where he did not protest, and you might think one case will be a valid excuse why he didn't protest, and the other one is not a valid excuse. What if he's bereft? The guy is running away. Why is the owner, the guy who claims it's his field, he ran away? Why? Shebarach machma sakonas nefashos. He was running away to save his life. Okay? So therefore, you kind of want to... The mafia is after him. All right? So now, he's laying low. Now, the last thing you want to do is protest that somebody's in your land.
Oh, boy, don't do that.
Because now you're saying, hi, guys, I'm right here. You got your gun in sight now? So he, you know, protesting is a very public type of activity, and he's trying to hang low. For example, let's say the king wants to kill him. So now the other guys say, "Hey, this is where I'm going to go to his field for 3 years." And he's not going to say anything. Ain machzik min hachasav. He does not have a chazaka on his property. Afilu ochel machzik kamashanim v'tarn shalach. Even if the guy who's there has it for years, he claims he bought it. Ain achelis arayis, eating is out of proof. Vein omer lebalos said, we don't now go back to the guy who claims he's the owner and question him. Loma lo machisa. Why didn't you protest? The answer is obvious. He's trying to save his life.
Yeah.
However, aval barech machlis moment. What are you running away just to not have to pay money?
Oh,
but it's not your life. Then arehu kecholodom. He's like any old person. His life is not in danger, and he should not be afraid to protest. And he knows that even if the guys who owe him the money want to collect money from him, they're not going to get any because he doesn't have any. If he doesn't protest because he was just afraid because of money, you can create a chazok.
What if he was like a draft dodger or something like that?
Okay, any situation where he would be afraid to expose himself, it would not be a chazok.
Like a city of refuge.
It doesn't have to be his life.
The refuge guy would also be good. He couldn't expose himself.
Not explosive.
As long as the guy is around and can be in a position to protest, and if you didn't, then it's a proof. But if there's any reason why he might not have wanted to protest, then it is not a proof. What? You're out. Now, machzikin b'nichsei eishas ish. It's possible to have a chazaka on the property of a married woman. Kate said, how is that? Ochla miktsei shnei chazaka b'chayabal. He eats part of the years of the chazaka while the husband was alive. V'shola sharem achar mises abal. And 3 years after the husband dies. So let's say they're 4 years. 5 years.
5 years.
V'tan v'amar. And now he says the following. You and your husband sold me the property. So, Mamidin Asobiyoto, we let him keep it. Why? Mitoch Shechem, he could have said, simply, because he already had it 3 years after he died, what could he have said simpler? I bought it from you after your husband died. Sherei Achola, Shnei Chazok, he already ate it 3 years of Chazok after she died.
After he died. After he died.
The Lomichab, and she did not protest.
How it was slightly less than
Avolim Achol. Well, then it doesn't work. Avolim, because he couldn't have a migu to say he bought it from her. Avolim Achol b'chay bala kamishonim. Here it is. But if he ate it many years while the husband was alive, v'lachol shnei chazaka achmis, but he didn't have it for 3 years after the husband died, ain lo chazaka. Because really, the husband has no permission to sell his wife's property in general, and he has no migu to say he bought it from the woman, and therefore he cannot buy it. Now, this next halacha, you kind of wonder, we're very meek and humbled to try to understand the next Rambam, because this is such a basic halacha that we made so many assumptions on, and now he just says the simple, straight halacha, almost at the entire end of all the issues of Chazaka. He always seems that, and I just don't understand the Rambam. So it'll be rather easy. And this was an issue that we talked about many times.
Maybe just to make you feel good at the end that you didn't get any of it, but at least you got this last thing.
I don't know. Kol chazaka she'eni matana. Person has a chazaka, he's on the field for 3 years, but he has no legitimate claim for why he has it.
That's not a chazaka.
Ain't a chazaka, it's not a chazaka. We've mentioned this many times. Kate said, let's have an example. He's been eating on this field for 3 years or more. Obama Aaron, the person who's contending with him, Vomerly says the following. Where'd you get that field that been there for the last 3 years? And more than that, Shalihu, it's mine. Where do you get it from? Where do you claim? Has she was a guy who's been there for 3 years? He says, you know what? I don't know who owns it. But the cave and Shomerly Autumn Klum, but nobody told me anything. So you're right, so I went inside. Yeah, I saw it abandoned, whatever. I don't know. I don't know.
Shelly needed that up front.
Shelly, why didn't you read it? Shelly's been
so
there.
Now, guess what, Shelly? Ain so chazaka.
Oh, no.
He does not have a chazaka.
Shelly, it's not a
why? Shari Lotan Shalakaka. He doesn't claim that he bought it from that first guy. Lo Shinitlo, he doesn't claim that he was given it, or he inherited it. He doesn't. I don't know. I have no claim to this land other than the fact I saw it lying empty.
Yeah, I took it.
Now, the Afal P Shaloton, and even though he doesn't make that claim, now let's think about this. What did the other guy say?
It's
what did the claimant say? Did he have any proof?
No.
No. Same Otsino Somiero. We will not take the property away, even though he says I have no legitimate claim, because the claimant doesn't have any legitimate claim
either.
There's no proof. Until he brings witnesses. So that's interesting. Let's say I go to this guy and say, you know, what are you doing in this field? It's my field. Tell me how you got it. I don't know. Tell me how you got it. Do you want me to prove it's yours?
No.
So you know what? If there's no claimant with a
possession
proof,
is 9/10
then the guy can hold on to it, because we don't know who the owner is.
Right.
In other words, he shouldn't
be. He's not the owner. Because he's
not the owner, but there's no one to kick him out.
Yeah. There's only the owner.
That's the point. You claim it's yours?
Prove it.
If you can't prove it, you have no more right to that.
And
I've at least been there for. But him being there 3 years is no proof it's his, because he has no taina.
Well, he's given it to him at the end of the day.
No, we're not yet.
We're leading that way. You know, he can stay there. He can stay there. Because there's nobody to kick him out.
But if somebody has proof,
that's
he's out of
the
it.
Point. Until he brings witnesses that it's his. So it could work, Shelley, that the guy can be, what was the word we used? The guy is a
squatter.
Squatter. Yeah. You could squat as long as you like until we find out who the actual owner is, and that owner says, get out.
And somebody he brings
and we
proof.
Know
he
he's
brings
the
proof.
Owner.
He brings proof.
If we don't know who the owner is, we could certainly know that there may be an owner. But we don't know who the owner is, so then let the guy
search.
Let the guy, but the guy knows he's running a great risk. What's the risk he's going to run? Because what if the guy haviate him? What if he does bring witnesses one day? Now what's going to happen? Two things are going to happen. You got to give back the field.
Or how about all the fruits?
But also, Motsim is that kol ha'perish of all the last 27 years
of
fruits. you're going to have to pay back. That's so you have to realize the risk you run by squatting on a field is, as long as the owner doesn't show up, okay, you're lucky. But once he shows up, you could have a great back debt that you're going to have to pay, which may not be fun. So that could be a deterrent for a person wanting to do that without doing that.
So there's really no such thing as Hefker property?
Well, not really. I mean, usually everybody owns something.
Well, let's say the situation in Eretz Yisrael. Yeah. There's a whole bunch of people who were in Poland that bought land in Eretz Yisrael, and then they got wiped out completely by the Holocaust. That would be
government
land.
It's government land. Government
may take it. I don't know. Now, more than this, now this guy who's on the field, the Bezdin doesn't help him out and encourage him with claims. We don't, the Bezdin doesn't encourage him and make suggestions of what he could say to win when the claimant is coming. We don't say, for example, Shem Shtar, maybe you had a shtar. Maybe you'd like to bring the shtar. I mean, you lost it. He'd have to make the claim himself. Okay? Vim lo ton, if he doesn't make any claim, Yachzer kol ha-perish, he has to give back all the fruits he ate. Let's say a guy has a shtar. He's been there for 10 years. He has a shtar, and look what happens. We really checked out the shtar real carefully one day. We find that the shtar was nullified for whatever reason. Forged signature. It was not valid. Boom. The whole chazak is lost. The original owner, who that shtar claims it was sold from, gets his field back. And all the moolah that comes with it.
That's expensive.
Now, we have a case like this. What if you inherit from your father? Okay, then we assume if your father owned it, then you own it. How much proof do you have to have that your father owned it?
If
let's say you don't have a shtar, what you have to do? So Abba Machnas, a guy makes a claim, and he's there in the field, and he says, because I inherited this field. Well, sorry, and he wants to own it because of the fact that his father owned the field. What does he have to do? Tzorach l'viraya shedora via besadazu, he has to prove, I don't know how, with witnesses or something, that the father actually lived in the field, worked in the field, only shtamash worked in it, afilu yom echad, even just one day. Okay? You don't have to say, prove how the father got it. As long as you can prove that daddy was working on that field for one day, we assume it's your daddy's and you've inherited from him. More than that, and now that he has 3 years chazaka, and we say, and what's your claim?
It's
my daddy's. How do you know it's your daddy's? Because I saw him living there for one day. So we keep it by him. That's good enough. But he cannot prove that your father lived there. Then what's your claim? You don't have a real claim anymore. He said, I'm there for 3 years because of my father's. Can you prove it's your father's even for a day? Nope. So you don't have any claim. So tax a servile appears on Marishol. But now the guy who's complaining, who has witnesses that he used to own it, the field will go back to him plus the fruits that he ate it. Why? Because the squatter, the guy who's been there for 3 years, he doesn't make a claim that the owner sold it to him or gave it to him,
right,
or it was known to his father, so that he's out. But what if he brings a proof that his father happened to have been in the field for a day? Still, that's nothing. Why? Because maybe Shem Bolavakar, or so maybe he came to visit the owner. But Lokanan didn't buy it. He has to prove his father was living or working in that field. Even one day. Let's do the last halacha to finish the parak. Yudal. The guy's been in this field for many years. Ubama Aaron, the claimant, says, Varmalan says, Malacha Ulasada, so what are you doing in this field? What's you doing in this field for the last number of years? Hoda, he admits, Rama says, this is the story. Yodea Nisha, I know it was your field, Mr. Claimant. Avoploni Machara Li, but so and so sold it to me. Vahu Lakacha Mimeka, and he bought it from you. You know how I know that? The guy told me he did.
Wow.
And I brought it from a guy, and he told me he bought it from you. Vamalavara, the claimant, says, Ploni Shemachalach, the guy who sold you, Gazlan, who is a Gazlan. So now let's add up all the information. What do we say? Well, one thing's for sure. The guy's been sitting in the field for 3 years. He certainly agrees his whole claim is from the guy who sold it to him.
Yeah. And once, and he knows that the other guy.
And now once
him.
This guy and says he's a Goslin, Hova Hodesh, he Shalo, once he admits that the original owner had owned it originally, and the guy just told me I bought it from him, but he didn't. He's a Goslin. He didn't buy it from him. The field and all the fruits go back to the original owner. And of course, the guy who's squatting now can go to the Goslin and deal with him in court. And Even though the claimant doesn't have any witnesses used to own it, but the guy himself admitted that he owned it because the Goslin told him that he bought it from that. What if the guy in the field brings witnesses? Shaploni mochar lo dorba filio mechad. The guy says, you know, I have witnesses that the guy who sold it to me lived there for 1 day. Or he said to him, b'fonai lokach mincha, before me he bought it from you. I saw the other guy buy it from you. Then he sold it to me. And he's not a Goslin. He gets to keep it. Why? Shereisha has a good claim. Right? Im cheskoso with his chesoka. If he wanted to say, he could have said, I could have said, I bought it from you, and he has the years of chesoko.